It's okay, Impy, darling. I'm nearly finished. Now, lean forward, or I can't reach properly. I need to do your other shoulder.
But it hurts, and it smells so nasty.
Oh, Impy, it doesn't. It's only calamine lotion, and if I don't put it on, it'll hurt much worse than your peel.
What do you mean, I'll peel?
What I say. We'll have to peel you like a banana. Then a whole new Lacey will pop out from inside.
No! I just want to know!
Oh, sweetie girl, come on. I was only playing. Nice one, Bert. You should know by now how sensitive she is. Lacey loves. Truly I am. I was teasing you and I shouldn't have been. I keep forgetting how many things are all new to you, like sunburn. Come on, dry those beautiful eyes.
Oh, darkness, I don't like it when I'm a silly girl.
Well, you might, but if you do, it'll only be just a little tiny bit where your skin has been hurt and new healthy skin has grown. You won't even notice it. It'll just happen when you're in the bath or when you're sleeping. And because I'm putting lots of nice lotion on you, it won't happen much at all, see?
I don't know why there has to be horrible things like sunburn. The sun's so lovely to play out in. Why does it have to do horrible things? It shouldn't be horrible and burn you, nasty sun.
Well, that's what happens when you don't listen to Mummy and you forget to put your spray on that she gave you. Linwyn told you and you wouldn't listen. I bet she didn't get burned, did she? Okay, I've finished now. You can pull your pyjama top back up. Do you need a hand with the buttons?
No, I don't need a hand with my buttons. I'm a big Lacey Lou, a big grown-up girl. I don't need you to do my buttons.
Oh,
buttons,
sorry,
anyway.
I'm sure.
Your wife, Linwyn, bought it her spray. She had one that smelled of coconut. It was better than mine. Who did you use this top one? Anyway, she's doing all lovely and brown. She's not bright red like me. It's not fair. I'll listen to Mummy next time anyway.
That's a good MP. Come on now, hop into bed.
All right. I'm sitting in bed. Oh, I love my lovely bed. Oh, I love bed. I'm a sleeping beauty princess. I love my bed. I love to be a princess in bed. I'm in bed now.
You don't stare. I've put it in a thermos cup with some ice to keep it cool. And look, your favourite pink straw's in it.
Oh, you're a lovely bird, you are. You really are lovely.
Oh, I know. I've told you, Bert Poppins, that's me. Where's your hanky?
It's here, under my pillow.
Good.
And you're coming up for talk before the sun.
What time is it? All right, just for a minute then. Out the way, Boofy. Oh. There we go.
Hello. But did you always listen to your mummy when you was a little rep?
To be honest, sweetie girl, yes, I usually did. I must have been a naughty little rep at some time in my life. Nobody's perfect after all, but I can't remember any times when I really did what I shouldn't. In fact, I was one of those kinds of children, leplings we call them, that are so good that no one likes them, not even their own brothers and sisters.
Oh, didn't your brothers and sisters like you?
Oh, some of them did, sweetie girl, particularly the little ones that I used to look after, but the ones older than me didn't like me much.
Didn't you mind?
Not much, Impy. I didn't really like them either. The boys were too rough and they were always fighting. The girls were out playing with their friends or flirting with boys. I wasn't interested in all that stuff. I liked helping Mum with the housework or helping Dad with the foraging and playing with the little ones. And I liked reading the best of all. Reading and learning my lessons.
Oh, that boring!
No, it's not Impy Imp. Now, that's enough about me. Do you want a story before we settle down? Ginger Jack or the fairy's thimble or something?
No, 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 no. I want to lick the tiny bird. I want to lick the tiny bird for that time. Won't you lick the tiny bird for me?
Impy. Oh, all right. Well, I had lots of little brothers and sisters, and some of the most difficult to look after were my little twin brothers, Arky and Marky. They were only five, but they were a proper little pair of imps, always getting into mischief.
What did they look like? Can you tell me?
Well, that was the thing, Impy. They could get away with murder because they were so pretty. They had little round faces covered with freckles, tiny button noses, rosebud mouths, masses of blonde curls, just a shade lighter than mine, and huge blue eyes that could soften a heart of ice.
Oh, wow!
And the other thing was, they had huge appetites. So they were chubby, and they were always looking for things to eat. And that's how the trouble started on this particular day.
Tell me.
I will if you stop interrupting me. There was this farm that my dad used to go to sometimes. It was called Bellmead. It was owned by a man called Farmer Bell. He had a herd of Jersey cows which gave the most delicious creamy milk, and he had a dairy in which he made clotted cream and fresh butter. As well as that, he grew all kinds of vegetables, and he even had an orchard full of all the most luscious fruits you could imagine. But the best thing of all was, he used to grow fields and fields of strawberries. Every summer, when they got ripe, you could smell them on the air for miles.
Yummy, crickets.
I know they are. Now listen, my little brothers loved strawberries too. In fact, they loved everything on Bellmead. And when my dad took us there to forage, we always got a great haul and had plenty to eat for weeks afterwards. My dad was very clever, you see. He only took us there when it was safe, when Farmer Bear was away at market or somewhere, and he only ever let us pick up things that had been thrown away or put out as animal feed or similar, because it was a bit battered or bruised or misshaped and couldn't be sold. You know, Impy, things that no one else would miss.
That was clever of your dad, wasn't it, that way nobody would notice if it had gone.
That's right. There were long times when we couldn't go to Bellmead, and even in summer we could get hungry, but Mum was strict. She always told us, don't ever, ever go foraging on your own, especially not to Bellmead. Anything could happen.
That's right. They could get caught in, or forded in the hole, or bited by a dog, or anything. But I bet
it
Arky and Marky didn't listen.
Listen, Impy, do you want to hear this story or not? Okay, then. Well, it had been very hot, and my dad's back had been playing him up for a few days. He had back trouble even then. He has it worse now. Anyway, he hadn't been able to get out to forage, and we were all hungry. On this particular day, a Monday as I remember, I'd been looking after the smallerlings as usual. Arky and Marky were really grumpy, but instead of fighting each other, they were quiet with their heads together. This should have told me trouble was brewing, but I'd been called away to help Mum with the washing. When I went back to see what they were up to, I couldn't find them anywhere.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. Now, you don't know my Mum, Impy, but she's the kind of person that, if she gets into a fuss and bother, she'll raise the roof, if not the dead. So I really didn't want her knowing that the twins had gone missing if I could find them quietly and bring them back, especially as I had a very good idea where they'd gone. I zapped off to Bellmead double quick. I went to the strawberry field first, but they weren't there. They weren't in the dairy, they weren't in the orchard, they weren't in the vegetable garden.
Oh, goodness, oh no!
I was just thinking I'd drawn a blank and was on the wrong track, when who should come clomping along but Farmer Bell himself? I tell you, Impey, I nearly had a heart attack. Don't forget, I was only 11. I had never seen a human before. I hid in a flower bed and peeped out at him, and I saw, to my horror, that he was carrying a big sack over his shoulder, and it was wriggling.
Oh, no, no, no. He told his auntie and Marty. Oh, no, 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 no. He caught hold of them. He caught them, hadn't he, Bert?
Yes, you're right. I guessed he'd caught Archie and Marky in his strawberries. I knew if I didn't do something very, very fast, then what we call the top brass, that means the people who rule all leprechauns, would have to be involved. They would have to freeze time, make the human forget that he'd seen us, do all kinds of strong magic, and my family would be in deep, deep trouble, not to mention disgrace.
So how did you get it?
Well, I zapped home as fast as I could. I was in luck. Mum was out of the cube, hanging out the washing. I grabbed a bottle of my dad's crabapple brandy from our pantry, and I also took two swedes that had been sitting in there since last winter. They were too old and hard to eat now, but my mum never threw anything away. Then I zapped back to Belmead. I'd only been gone for less than a minute.
Had that naughty farmer got to his house? Did you have to go in his house?
No, luckily he was just walking through his orchard where there were tall fruit trees, so I had plenty of places to hide. I got in front of him and I put the little bottle of brandy where he couldn't help seeing it. Then I used a helping hand. It's hard to explain this bit, but I kind of put a glow on it so that Farmer Bell would feel, oh, that it was something really yummy that he wanted to pick up and drink. Then I waited. Every drop, Impey. After that, he tried to go on his walk, but after just a few steps, he was so zed squared that he fell down flat on his nose and went fast asleep. My dad's crab apple brandy was 10 years old and had a kick like Clancy's horse. Sack and got them out, and they were very scared, but I didn't have too much sympathy right at the minute. I put the two big Swedes back in the sack and tied it up again. Then we zapped home.
Did your mummy find out what happened?
Well, yes. I had to explain what had happened to the brandy. And Archie and Marky had eaten so many strawberries and had such a bouncing on Farmer Bell's shoulder that they were sick for days afterwards. They didn't try that stunt twice. I was sorry they'd been frightened, though, even if it was their own faults. They listened more carefully to Mum and Dad after that.
Like I listened more carefully to Mummy about my
suntan skin. Exactly, Impey. When our mummies or daddies tell us things, it's not to stop us having fun or having and doing things we like. It's usually to keep us safe. Come on now, let's sing the song, and then it's time for sleep.
This one thing, Bert. I want to ask you one more question. Archie and Marky, are they all grown up now? Do they still live in the colony? Do you see them on Sundays?
Marky still lives in the colony, Impey. I see him most weeks. He's married to a lovely femme called Junie, and they have 23 leplings.
23? Wow! That's a lot, isn't it,
Bert? It is. Ah, Impey. Archie went to high country.
Oh, is that like heaven?
That's right. He got too cold one winter and couldn't wake up from a sleep day. But he's still with us as long as we remember him. And so is everyone else who has gone to high country before us.
That's right, Bert. You're right.
Come on now, sweetie. It's time to sing and settle down. You start it. Put your hands together. Close your eyes.
All right, I'll start it tonight. You join in. One evening as the sun went down and the dungle fire was burning, down the road came a pretty maid, and she said,
I'm never turning. I'm going to a land that's far away. Beside the crystal fountain, there's peace and joy for each girl and boy. It's the Big Rock Candy Mountain.